Welcome to the Skokie Colo Podcast. Here you can listen to recent shiurim given by members of the Colo and special guests who spoke at the Colo. For older shiurim, open the Learn tab above and select Audio Archive.
Hello, my name is Dovi Turkeltaub, and I'd like to share with you a Dvar Torah on Parshas Toldos. One of the unique things about Parshas Toldos is that it's the only parsha that we find all three Avos HaKadoshim are living. The parsha starts off with the birth of Yaakov and Esav. And we know that when Yaakov and Esav were alive, Avram Avinu was still living. And we find that when Avram Avinu passed away in this week's parsha, that's when the incident took place of Yaakov buying the Bechor of Esav. So it's the only parsha where we find that all three Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, were alive in this week's parsha. So I had a thought, a basic question. What is it that the Torah goes to great lengths and details to discuss different stories about the Avos HaKadoshim? We find throughout the previous parshias all the different stories and travelings of Avram Avinu, not so much about Yitzchak, and then we find much more about Yaakov. What is it that the Torah wants us to be able to take from the lives of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So if we turn to the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Ramban says, on the Pasuk, Vayar Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekayim Shechem, Avram passed into the land as far as the place of Shechem. So the Ramban is troubled. What's the significance of Avram's various stations upon his arrival in the land of Canaan, that the Torah saw fit to record them in detail? To answer this, the Ramban is going to explain what the idea, the importance of the Avos are. So the Ramban says, Amar lech klal, I'm going to tell you a rule. Tavin oisei b'chol ha-parshis ha-boyis b'nin Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I'm going to tell you a rule that you should keep in mind throughout all the stories regarding Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he says, we have to understand that everything that took place in the lives of the Avos is a sign for their descendants. It means whatever they went through is a sign of what's going to take place in their descendants. And therefore, says the Ramban, that's the reason why the Pasuk goes to great lengths in recounting all the details of the Avos, the travels and the digging of wells and other incidents. And when contemplating these incidents, may consider the matters that are superfluous and without purpose. In truth, however, says Ramban, all of these events come to teach regarding the future. For when an incident occurred to a prophet among the three patriarchs, among the three Avos, there can be understood from it an allusion to something that was decreed to happen to his descendants. So what the Ramban is saying to us, that anything that the Avos went through was only a mirror image, so to speak, of what's going to take place to all of their descendants, the future generations of Klal Yisrael. And to that, it can give us a very big chizuk in anything, in any situation that we go through. Because any situation that we go through, we have to realize that someone had paved the way for us to help us along with our journey. To illustrate this, I heard a beautiful mashal. Understanding this can give us a chizuk in any trials and tribulations that we went through, and give us a chizuk, a strength in our emunah. There was once a person who was trying to cross over the Verrazano Bridge in New York. There's always major traffic. And as he's getting closer to the bridge, he notices a car along the middle of the road and disregards all the cars behind him, and he makes a huge traffic jam. And car stopped there, and he gets out of his car. Everyone's honking at him, yelling, "Get back in the car, you're making a traffic jam." And he's there, and he starts playing around, feeling the beams of the highway. Someone asks him, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm about to enter the bridge, and before I enter the bridge, I want to make sure that the bridge is strong enough for me to be able to go onto the bridge." Everyone's screaming at him, "You fool, of course it's strong enough, get back in the car." And he says, "I might be foolish, but I'm not entering the car until I know the bridge is strong enough." And he wouldn't listen to anyone. Finally, one smart person tells him, says, listen here, I understand that you're worried that the bridge might collapse on you. And it's something very much to be worried about. If you were the first person to have ever crossed this bridge, I would also have been petrified. But don't you realize there's been millions and millions and millions of people that have crossed the bridge, and nothing has happened to them. Do you think just by you that's when the bridge is going to collapse? And he gets back into his car and he crosses the bridge. And lo and behold, he made it safely to the other side. Now that is the lesson that the Ramban is telling us. Sometimes we have questions. How can we continue? Maybe, maybe yes, maybe no. Is it the right thing? Is it not the right thing? But what lesson can we learn from the Avos? Whatever you have been going through, they've already been there and passed it over safely. Therefore, we can be rest assured that we can make it as long as we try hard. That's a lesson that we can take from the Avos. Whatever challenge we have, remember that someone already had paved the way to make it easier for us. Let's hope that in that merit of the Avos, in the merit of connecting ourselves to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, hopefully soon we'll merit that day, like we say in davening, Avram Yogel, Yitzhak, Yiranen, Yaakov, Avonev, Yinuch, Avoy, will soon merit together to greet the Avos HaKadoshim with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu speedily in our days. Have a great, great Shabbos.
Hello, this is Ari Berin. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Toldos, we are told the story of Yitzchak giving a bracha to his two sons, Yaakov and Esav. And as the story goes, Yitzchak tells Esav, go catch for me game, go bring me an animal to eat, and once I eat it, I'll come and give you a bracha. And Rivka overhears this, and she sends Yaakov to go instead to bring some goats from the barn, from the shed, and she prepares them, and he brings them disguised as Esav, wearing the goat hair on his arms and on his neck, so that he will seem hairy, with hairy arms and a hairy neck, like his brother Esav, and in a way deceive his father so that he can get the blessings. And interesting, the blessing that he's given is a blessing of physicality. Yaakov Avinu, who's 63 years old now, who spent his entire life learning Torah, sitting in Yoshev Olim, sitting in tents of Torah, is given a blessing for the physical world. The bracha is, V'itein lecha, Hashem should give you, Mital Shemaim, He should give you the dew of the heavens, Ushmanei Aretz, and the fats of the land, V'rov Dagon V'sirosh, and lots of grain and wine. Seemingly, if you're Yaakov Avinu, you're not looking for a bracha for physical. You want to grow in Torah, you want to grow in spirituality and leadership, and yet the bracha that Yitzchak is giving him is this bracha of physical. But even more interesting is that when after Esav comes in and is very upset, and he says, where's my bracha? And Yitzchak finds a bracha to give him. He says, when your brother's down, you'll rise up above him. Neither will both of you be strong. But if your brother ever slips, if Yaakov ever slips, then Esav can come and take his place. And after this whole incident, they realize that Yaakov needs to leave so that Esav doesn't kill him. And they want to send him to go find a wife from Rivka's family. And only then does Yitzchak, his father, give him the bracha called Birkas Avraham. And the pasuk says, "V'yitein l'cha es birkas Avraham." Yitzchak now tells Yaakov, "I'm giving to you the blessing of Avraham. L'cha ulzarecha itach, you and your sons after you. L'rishtecha es ha'aretz migurecha, that you should inherit the land that you're dwelling on. Asher nasan Elokim l'Avraham, the land that Hashem gave to Avraham." Seemingly, if you're Yitzchak Avinu, wouldn't you want to give the blessing of Avraham, your father, first right away? Only this is like an afterthought. Once Yaakov got his regular bracha, now he has to leave. He says, oh, now, by the way, let me also give you Birkas Avraham. Why was Birkas Avraham not important at the very beginning, the original bracha he wanted to give? So one idea is that there was an understood reality that there'd be division of responsibility amongst Klal Yisrael. There would eventually be a tribe of Levi who would be the Kohanim, who would be the leaders, the teachers, the ones who served in the Beis Hamikdash, the ones who represented us in front of Hashem, the ones who taught us the way of Hashem. And there'd be others who would give Meiser, who would give a tenth of their produce, of their land, the work that they did on their land to feed the tribe of Levi. And it was always seen that this was the goal, the final picture. You'd have a group, like so to speak, in Kolel, where they're learning and they're teaching, and then you have the others that would be supporting them. And that division of labor only comes once Yaakov has 12 sons that are all holy, and Levi is selected. His tribe is going to be the one that's going to represent the tribe of Hashem. But Yitzchak looks at his two sons, and he sees, I have an Esav and I have a Yaakov. And his mind, Esav was good, And Esav was a person who worked very hard, worked in the physical world. And Yaakov was someone who worked in the spiritual world. And he thought the division of labor was going to come right now. And his plan was to give Esav the bracha for physical, and then Yaakov the bracha for spiritual. It happened when Yaakov came in and took the bracha, he took the bracha for physical. That's why he got the shmanei aretz, the fatness of the land. But afterwards, after this whole event happened, Yitzchak realized, I don't have two sons that are holy, one in the physical, one in the spiritual. Esav is not on the level I thought. He was, only Yaakov is. And Yaakov is going to have to carry Klal Yisrael all by himself. He's going to have to do both. So not only does he have the bracha physical, which I already gave him, I have to give him Birkas Avram. Just like Avraham had to do both. He had to be the king of spirituality and the king of physicality. He had to go and reach out to people and do physical needs and do hachnas orachim, inviting guests and preparing food for them, and also teaching Torah. So Yaakov's going to have to do both. He has to do Birkas Avram as well. And so the bracha he had before of physicality, which was designed specifically for Esav, he realized now there was a reason Hashem didn't let that bracha go to Esav. It has to go to Yaakov. And in addition to that, Yaakov also needs the bracha of Avraham, that he could be the spiritual leader and also the physical leader of the next generation. And one final idea that Rav Tzadok HaKohen says specifically about why was this bracha given to Yaakov, the bracha of physicality, when he's seemingly such a spiritual person. So he quotes on this pasuk, a famous pasuk in Parshas Ekev. The pasuk says, Lo al alechem levado yichye adam. Not on bread alone does man live, ki al kol motzeis pi Hashem yichye adam. But through everything that emanates from the mouth of Hashem is what man lives on. Meaning bread alone doesn't sustain people, but gets sustained through our connection with Hashem, through our relationship with Hashem. And the way Rav Tzadok HaKohen reads this pasuk is not on bread alone does man live, but on any words that emanate from Hashem through the bread does man live. That once you have the bread, from that bread you can bring the Pi Hashem, you could bring the voice of Hashem into this world. Not on bread alone can you live. Living just in the physical, you won't get anywhere. But using the physical to motze Pi Hashem, to bring out the voice of Hashem into the world, that's Yichye Adam, that's how man lives. And Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that's why Yaakov was given this bracha of Mital HaShemayim Ushmanei Aretz, from the dew of the heavens and the fat of the land, because that is how Yaakov is going to succeed. He's going to succeed by taking the physical world and elevating to the spiritual. And every single bite of challah he eats and every single cup of wine he drinks, he can use that as a service to Hashem. And it's a great message to us. We, Baruch Hashem, live in a land and a time of such tremendous abundance. We have, Baruch Hashem, enough food to eat, and delicious food, and homemade food, and you can get bakeries, all kinds of delicious things that 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, you'd have never found on people's plates, and we get them anytime, even in the middle of the winter when nothing grows, we can get anything we want at any time. And specifically in our generation, this bracha can be given, that it's not for the food itself that we live, but well, we can take this food and we can save a special item and designate it L'chavad Shabbos Kodesh, to designate something that this delicious food I'm only going to eat for Shabbos. Or while I'm eating on Shabbos, or while I'm eating during the week, I'm doing this as a way to serve my Creator, to give myself strength so that I can be a better servant to Hashem. So with a full stomach, I can be nicer to my spouse, or nicer to my children, or have more energy to serve Hashem, or go to sleep now and get a little extra sleep so I can have more energy to daven with more kavanah in the morning. And if we think of it that way, as Rav Tzadok HaKohen said, that was the bracha that Yaakov was given. That he was given the bracha of physicality, that he could take the physical world and raise it up to the spiritual. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Hello, this is Ari Sendek, and I would like to share with you a Devar Torah for Parshas Toldos. When Esav realized that Yaakov Avinu received the bracha from their father Yitzchak instead of him, the pasuk tells us about Yitzchak tzeoka gedola umora ad meod. Esav cried a long and bitter cry. He obviously recognized the power of a bracha from Yitzchak and what it would have meant for him had he received it. Yet, the Torah in Perachav Zayin, Pasuk Mem Aleph, tells us what Esav was thinking after he received his quote-unquote bracha from Yitzchak. It says, Vayomer Esav belibo, Esav said in his heart to himself, Yikrevu yimei evel avi, the days of mourning for my father will approach, meaning Yitzchak will soon die, ve'aharga es Yaakov achi, I'm going to kill my brother Yaakov. How does he think he's going to get to Yaakov after Yaakov received the bracha? And furthermore, what does it mean that he's making it depend on the death of his father? So the Kli Yakar explains that we could understand this by looking at what the bracha Yitzchak actually gave Esav was. Part of that bracha was, although Yaakov will rule over you, v'hayak asher tarid, when he goes down, Ufarakta ulo me'al tzavrecha, you can take his yoke off of your neck. What does this mean? The Kli Yakar explains that when Yaakov goes down, meaning when he's not going to learn Torah, ufarak te'ulo, that's when you can get to him. An avel, someone who's mourning, is not allowed to learn Torah, because of the pasuk, kipakude Hashem yisharim mitzam chaylev, Torah automatically brings simcha to a person. So therefore, Esav was thinking, when Yaakov is mourning for Yitzchak, he won't be learning Torah, he won't have anything to protect him, and then, v'harga es Yaakov achi, I'll be able to kill Yaakov, my brother. The Kli Yagar concludes that for this reason, the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Mem Dale, writes that Avel tzarich shmira, an Avel needs someone to accompany him, to guard him. Since he doesn't have the Torah that protects him, therefore someone else has to come and protect him. Although that concludes the Kli Yagar's words in this parsha, the Kli Yagar actually continues this storyline over the course of the next few parshios. In the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov sends messengers to Esav and finds out that Esav is coming with 400 men to attack him, the pasuk says in Parak Lamed Beis, pasuk Ches, Vayira Yaakov Meod Vayetzer Lo. Yaakov is very afraid and pained. And many of the Rishonim ask, why is Yaakov afraid? Numerous times Hashem has promised that he would protect Yaakov. At the dream by the ladder, Hashem said, Ushmarticha b'chol ashetelech, I'm going to guard you everywhere you go. A second time, in Lavan's house, it says, Shuv el aretz meladtecha, ve'ehya imach, go back to the land of your fathers, and I will be with you. And the Kli Yagar explains that was only a number of days, 8 days before this incident. So the Kli Yagar, over there in Vayishlach, in his second interpretation of what is Yaakov so afraid of, he writes that although our pasuk in our parasha said that Esau was saying in his heart, I'll get Yaakov after Yitzchak dies, perhaps this is what the pasuk means. Vayir Yaakov ma'od, Yaakov is very afraid. Maybe Esau is going to kill him. Vayetzer lo, and he's in pain because he thinks his father is dead. Because Esau said, Yikrevu yimei evel aviv, aharga es Yaakov achi. When we're mourning for our father, that's when I'm going to kill Yaakov. So if Esau's coming, Yaakov is worried that Yitzchak has died. If this assumption is correct, that Yaakov knew the plan of Esav, the Kli Yagar says this can also explain a difficulty that if you learn Rashi, jumps off the page of the Chumash. In Parshas Vayetze, so we're now covering three parshios in a row with this Devar Torah, when Lavan meets up with Yaakov after Yaakov ran away from his house and accuses him of stealing things, Yaakov Avinu says, I've been in your house for 20 years. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters. Lulei Elohei Avi Avraham upachad Yitzchak ha'eli. It was only because the God of my father Avraham upachad Yitzchak, and the feared one of Yitzchak was with me. Why does he say Elokei Avraham, the God of Avraham, but pachad Yitzchak? Rashi there in Vayetzei, Paraklam and Aleph, Pasuk Membez, writes that he didn't say Elokei Yitzchak because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not single out his name on tzaddikim b'chayehem, in their lives. If that's the case, why, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu starts to daven to Hashem to save him from Esav, Yaakov says in Paraklam and Bez, Pasuk Yod, Vayomer Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avraham, the God of my father Avraham, ve'elokei Avi Yitzchak, and the God of my father Yitzchak. Here, he is singling out Hashem's name on Yitzchak. The Kli Yagar explains, now we understand. Because since, somehow, either through his Ruach HaKodesh, or through his mother's Ruach HaKodesh, he knew Esau's plan to attack only after Yitzchak was dead, that explains why in this tefillah to Hashem to save him from Yitzchak, he is now saying, Elokei Yitzchak. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shalom Aleichem, everyone. This is Eric Goldman, and it is my honor and pleasure to share with you words of Torah for Parshas Toldos. If you had to describe Yaakov and Esav, you could probably find so many different ways of labeling their lives. Yaakov was the Ish Emes, he was the Bechir HaAvos, he was the father of the Shiftei Ka, the father of the Shvatim, he battled Esav and overcame him so many times in his life, there was so much that he accomplished. And on the other hand, of course, Esav was the biggest Rasha you could possibly imagine, murdering and stealing and immorality. He was involved in everything. And yet, points out Rav Pinkas Zecher Tzadik Levracha, when the Torah describes these two individuals early on in their lives, it describes them with very simple titles. Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Chav Zayin says, Vayhi Esav ish yodei atzayid ish sadeh, v'yakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. And Esav was a hunter. He was out in the field. And Yaakov was a simple man dwelling in the tents. That's it. That's how the Torah describes Yaakov and Esav. With all of what we could have come up with to talk about them, it was the simple fact that Esav was a hunter. He was out in the field. And Yaakov sat in the tent. And he learned Torah. Explains Rav Pinkas, what we do with our time defines our lives. Yaakov sat in the tent and he learned Torah. Everything else that he went on to accomplish was because he took advantage of the time that he had. He didn't waste it. He didn't try to find excuses of what he had to be doing, but he just sat and he learned. And on the flip side, all of the rishus, all of the terrible things that Esav was going to go on to do in his lives, you know what it all came from? Because he did not take advantage of his time. Because instead of accomplishing something with the time and the ability that he had, instead he went out to the field and he tried to find other things to do. And sure enough, before he knew it, he was involved in so many terrible things. And the Gemara even says, "Batel mevi lidei shimum," that being batel, doing nothing, it leads to bad things. There's no good that can come out of just sitting around and doing nothing and not taking advantage of time, because it's only a matter of time then before the bad starts creeping in, before we look for other things, the Yitzhahara overtakes us and it points us in directions that we don't want to be going. But when we are trying to take advantage of our time, when we're looking for ways to hop in a few minutes here, a few minutes there, or we find ourselves on a Sunday afternoon with 3 hours worth of time and nothing to do, what do? During that time? Do we put ourselves in the right situations? Do we try to do chesed? Do we try to spend time with our families? Do we try to learn a little bit extra? And by doing that, it has a snowball effect that just keeps growing on itself. I took advantage of this time, so I'll take advantage of the next time, and mitzvah goeres mitzvah, and at the end of the day, I had a wonderful accomplishing day, all because I took advantage of my time and I tried to do something with the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. So yes, with all that Yaakov would accomplish, and all the terrible things that Esav would end up doing, it was what they did with their time that was at the root of all they would end up doing in their lives. Rav Zev Smith, who is a Magid Shir Rav in Yeshiva Torah V'Das in Brooklyn, New York, he relates that Rav Moshe Feinstein, of course, was a very calm, a very collected individual. His emotions never got the better of him. Even when giving drushas, when giving shmuzes, he would never get too animated. But Rav Smith says that there was one time where Rav Moshe became visibly shaken and angry, and he banged his fist on the table. And he was talking about this concept of taking advantage of time. And Rav Moshe was saying that today there's a phrase that's become very common. We have time to kill. Let's kill some time. And Rav Moshe banged his fist on the desk and he said, "Zetaka rotseach." It's murdering. And maybe he didn't mean it in a literal sense, but to a certain extent, maybe he did. Because when we don't take advantage of our time, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the ability to do something in this world, and we just kill it, so we're taking that part of our lives and we're putting it in a place that we don't want it to be. And then unfortunately, what comes out of that is out of our control to a certain extent. Rav Henkin, who was one of the Gedolim in America in the middle of the 20th century, so when he was still in Europe, he was in a small town called Stiupitz. And he went to visit the Rav of that town. And when he was waiting outside the Rav's office in the waiting area, there happened to be a bachur sitting there in the chair waiting next to him. And so he asked this young man, "No, so what's your name?" And the man responded, "My name is Avram Yeshaya." "Oh, new Avram Yeshaya, what do you do?" So he said, "Well, my wife and I, we run a little shop. We have a store that we tend to, and we make a parnasa." So Rav Henkin asked him, "If you're running a shop, how do you learn? When do you have time to learn?" So Avram Yeshaya responded, "When I have time, that's when I learn." Avram Yeshaya, of course, would go on to be Avram Yeshaya Karolitz, known as the Chazon Ish. For him, that phrase, "When I have time, I learn," it all depended on how you define when I have time. There are so many parts during our day that we can find a few minutes here, a few minutes there, a break over here, I have a big chunk of time maybe on a Sunday. Are we looking to take advantage of our time? Are we looking to accomplish something with our time? And yes, of course, we have to have time that we relax. We have to have hobbies and outlets that can take our minds away from the craziness and the busyness of the daily grind in today's world. But it has to be relaxing with a purpose. I have to not be, quote, killing time, but I have to be relaxing, saying, I need to relax for an hour now, so that way tonight I can go learn in the Beis Medrash. Or it's been a really hard day, I need to just chill for a few minutes, and then I can go back to my learning, and then I can go do that chesed. It's understandable for sure. But the overall perspective of what we do with our time, what we want to accomplish with our time, has a domino effect into all aspects of our lives. So Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, we too should be defined by how we spend our time. We should be zocha to spend our time wisely and all that we'll end up accomplishing in our lives. Thank you and have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you for listening. Feel free to learn about all the programs that the Skokie Community Kol has to offer. For any questions, suggestions, or to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, please email us at info@skokiekolo.org.